Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, a misreading of Nick's column may have changed the course of history.
General Salon. Devote all your efforts to suppressing those towel-headed colonials in Algiers. Be as brutal as possible to the bastards.
While Nick had more personal concerns.
I want desperately to see you, Ronnie. And at the same time, nothing I've ever contemplated has scared me more. From my diary, May 6th. On my way to Copenhagen to meet Jake. He still hasn't volunteered anything about the purpose of his trip, and unless he brings it up, I respect that. But he has been very urgent that I come up to meet him so we can drive back to Paris together. Once I learned that he liked my column, I didn't need much convincing. Jake has arranged the hire of a car. I'm to pick him up tomorrow morning at the university. We'll wend our way down through Germany in the Paybau and maybe carve off a little taste of Belgium, partaking of the local wines and the fat of the land, talking about writing and having a rare old time. After the tumult of the past weeks, it will be both a pleasure and a relief to be away from Paris, adrift like Huck and Jim on a river of idleness, letting the current of conversation carry us where it will. I know I can learn a lot from Jake. Rediscovering myself as a writer, being taken up by the Paris literary world, has been the most exhilarating experience of my life. I feel invigorated and intoxicated. It's as if someone has reattached my mail equipment after years of my not noticing the stuff was missing. Speaking of which, one of the highlights of my evening at Shakespeare and Company last week came after the reading when de Beauvoir backed me against a bookcase and grasped me firmly by the crotch while looking me over like a woman choosing a cut of meat at the butcher's. I was at a loss for words, and might have lost more than that. Happily, Sartre came by and said something sharply to her in French, and she released me with a very Gallic shrug. I gave him an embarrassed nod of thanks, and he returned a sardonic smile. Am I just enjoying the celebrity, or is it the writing I crave? And can I still do it? By the time Keats was my age, he'd been dead for 30 years. But then so have I. May 7th. Picked up the car. It's a pre-war Renault convertible, color of egg yolk. Cloth top resists all efforts to put it up. We can only hope it doesn't rain. The thing runs anyway, and the evil garage man who gave me the keys swore it has a full tank of gas. No way of telling, as the gauge is busted. Sitting outside the Royal Hospital waiting for Jake, impatient to start the trip. May 7th, night. Jake came down to the car, bounded, you might almost say, tossed his suitcase into the boot, clapped me on the back, and sang out, "Come on, Nico, me boy, let's roll." We sped along through the Danish countryside, stopped for a late lunch at an inn where there was no English, little French spoken, but where we nevertheless managed to get a good meal of very fresh monkfish and a crisp white wine. Clouds were gathering in the west as we left the inn. We wrestled with the soft top and managed to rip it clean off its rusted moorings. We laughed hilariously and left it propped up as a shrine on the side of the road. Jake was in exuberant spirits, which even the drenching rain didn't seem to dampen. Nor did the discovery of the garage man's treachery when we ran out of gas. I was able to wave down a truck and get a lift to a gas station, but we lost a few hours and have wound up stopping here on the island of Funen for the night. Found a wonderful inn with sloping thatched roofs and ivy on the walls and red and white flowers and neat beds and window boxes. We were able to change into some dry clothes and tuck into an excellent dinner while management arranged our wet things by the kitchen fireplace. Jake flirting broadly with the innkeeper's wife as she served us, which amused her, but not the innkeeper. I've not seen this Randy side of Jake before. He seems positively giddy. Maybe it's the wine, or the Danish climate. May 8th. Jake's asleep. I can't sleep. What a day. Made our way by ferry to the mainland and tootled south, keeping to the coast and crossing into Germany by lunchtime. Jake entertained me with a rollicking rendition of Barnacle Bill the Sailor, trilling the maiden's falsetto parts and growling Bill's bass parts and howling with laughter. It was hard not to be infected by his mood, and after we stopped at a farmhouse and Jake disappeared inside and emerged with a basket of bottles of local wine, it became progressively easier to join in the hilarity. After a few bottles, I needed a piss. We were on a straight stretch of road without a farmhouse in sight. I don't know if I can hold it.
Hold what?
Well, yeah, I have to go.
So why hold it?
But out here, there's no place to...
There's every place in the world. Why the fuck not? Anybody coming, we'll see him 2 kilometers away, if that's what worries you. Tell you the truth, I could use a leak myself. Hey, come on, Nick.
Now what the heck? There are moments when doing something embarrassing is less mortifying than prim refusal. So I found myself pissing onto German soil side by side with Jake. I couldn't resist a sidelong peek. To my surprise and relief, his penis didn't look that much different from mine.
Okay, now for distance.
I haven't done this since I was a kid.
Yay! Look at Nick go! You must have beaten me by 2 feet.
Jake finished before me, and as I continued, I saw the look of appraisal in his eyes.
She's crazy.
Beg your pardon?
That wife of yours, nothing wrong with the size of your cock. She's jerking your chain.
Why would she say it, then?
She wants to put you out of business. That's it, pure and simple.
Well, I don't know. I can't tell.
Every man is worried that his cock might be a little smaller than someone else's. Well, most men just don't talk about it, that's all. You're fine. It's all in the perspective. You look down at it, it gets foreshortened. It's a swell cock, Nico. Any woman would be pleased as punch with it.
Well, you're sure?
Trust me, I've made a study of these things. I'm a newspaper man.
P.S. Well, that's it. I'm writing this postscript even though I would not be at all surprised if you never read this far. If you've thrown this letter away long before now, I don't blame you. I don't want to come back to the United States. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true. I feel that I found a home in Paris. I found respect, and more important, I found self-respect. I believe I can take a chance at being a real writer. I've even begun working on a story set in Paris about a reformed alcoholic who returns to the City of Light to try and regain custody of his daughter. It's about dreams and loss, 2 themes I think I understand well enough to explore in fiction. I don't want to come back to the United States, but I'd come back for you if you want me to.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Alan Arkin as Jake Barnes and Tom Conti as Nick Carraway. Tune in next time to hear Robert Cohn say,
"I've come to take you down, Jake."